VentureCast.
We're all committing to get in better shape this summer. Finally, Nina has an attempt, an impression of me. I don't get it. It doesn't sound like me. I don't know much about music like you bi-coastal elites. So this year I bought a lottery ticket, matched the numbers to letters of the alphabet. It spelled out an artist and it hit me lyrically. What do you guys think?
Such a great joke. Such an amazingly good joke.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, how are you on this fine Sunday? Jeff Simons, you are in Berkeley. What's the weather like?
Nice, but a little chilly. It's been in the 50s all week because it's no longer California weather, but it's sunny at least, but it's cold.
Ben, in the Blue Ridge Mountains / Great Smokies, we're at 81, big puffy clouds, just beautiful weather here.
Very, very nice. I am here on the Slovenian-Italian border.
Okay.
In the wine country, and it's a brisk 53 with a hard driving rain here. So it's been a little tough.
Oh my God.
It's been a little tough. Oh yeah, for sure.
Huh. Okay. Well, good for the grapes, maybe.
I guess. Yeah, totally.
Sure. Jeff Simons, you got my email from the top rope. Hit it.
Oh. Coming up.
People lie, had a woman. She was just nice and kind to me in multiple ways. Lord, I had a woman. She was just nice and kind to me in multiple ways. But she died and she left me. That's why I sang the blues on every decoration day.
Thank you, John Lee Hooker, for capturing my mood, my emotions this weekend.
This is a really awkward way to tell us something happened to Robot Lady.
No, sorry. FYI, Robot Lady is fine. But yesterday was graduation day at Asheville School. So I walked around, instead of singing decoration day, I was singing, I had a student every graduation day. It's a sad day. All the students say goodbye. Do you not
That's nice of you that it's a sad day that you made those connections. Yeah. I don't think every teacher feels that way about graduation day, I'll be honest.
Well, I will also say that it's a reflection on my own mortality because it's the day they no longer need me and they move on. I'm like, wait, are you sure you have the semicolon down? Yeah, I got the semicolon. Don't worry.
Oh, see, that's really funny. I missed law school graduation this year.
Right.
But one of my absolute favorite things about our collective jobs is the butterfly cycle. You know, you get to see the caterpillar larvae stage and then into the butterfly and then they fly off. Like, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
And it renews every year. There's a new crop next year. So, you know, Tim, if you feel bad now, don't worry. There'll be more next in the fall.
Oh, 100%. And then I look at that seat and there's some kid sitting in like Scarlet Dewey seat or like, yeah, well, what are you doing? Who are you? I don't know you. Plus, it was also emotional because yesterday my daughter graduated from
How about
Asheville
that?
School.
Way to go.
So that's a good, big one. And Jeff, you're seeing that too, huh?
I'm coming up June 7th.
June 7th of yours?
Yep.
It's weird, man. I mean, how many graduations have we gone through over the years? And then all of a sudden
31. I've gone to 31 high school graduations, okay, not including my own.
I didn't know we'd have this number ready. I'm just saying it's a little strange when you have that personal investment on that day. A little weird.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We got grandparents flying in. We're making a whole to-do out of it.
Yep. Well, Ben should have given us notes on how to handle these things. That's what he's here for, to lead us into this next phase of our lives. Okay.
I'm just going to be silent here.
Silent. Kind of like how you were with graduation. All right. Well, let's get to the podcast name. 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys here waxing nostalgic. But we're really going to unpack the year 2014, this year in music, figure out which was our favorite album from the year. But first things first, Jeff Simons, the Grammy voters had their say.
I was going to ask, what network are we on, Tim, on this fine podcast?
Oh, good call. It's the Electricast Podcast Network. Go to electricast.com for all your podcasting needs. We're on the Creators Network.
That's right.
Of the Electricast Network.
Okay, here we go. Grammy winning music.
It's the Grammy winner.
Morning Phase by Beck.
See the sleep that rests upon the quiet street we're standing on. Is it time? Try again some other day. These are words we use to say goodbye. These are words you use to say goodbye.
I feel like I owe Beck an apology because I have not followed his career as I should have. Because you picked Sea Change a few years ago.
I did.
And then Ben talked about the more upbeat disco-y album that followed? Something about a van? I don't know.
What do you think of this record,
Guero, Ben? I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Remind me the name of this record.
This is Morning Phase.
Oh, I like this one. You didn't like this one.
It didn't stay with me. I really thought it was like Sea Change Part 2 and not as good. And it might just be me that Sea Change came out when my first marriage was falling apart. And so I was like, this fits pretty well.
Yeah.
And then this came out when I was really happily married and had a 1.5-year-old cute daughter. And I was like, I don't really feel this record.
Dude, the thing that's really funny about it is those two albums are interchangeable to me. They're slow and in spots kind of boring. I mean, that was how I felt about Sea Change.
So Jeff, it's a great moment where you're in a particular moment to receive art.
Oh, dude.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the fact that you, that this one didn't resonate with you.
I can't believe this one album of the year, though. Good Lord.
Me too. I just can't even. It's shocking. Like, why? I remember, though, this came out and like there were definitely people who were like, this is the best record I've ever heard. And wow. Lo and behold, they were going through something. Like, I mean, like the three or four people I can think of that I know that thought this was the best record of the year went through like seismic Sea Change themselves. So I guess wow. Beck makes a record every decade for people whose lives are about to have a profound shift. Nice of him, really.
Nice of him.
That's why you haven't resonated, Timmy. You've just been like cooking along, the happiest guy I know, like making kids and making memories. And
maybe this graduation day. Maybe that's what Beck's gonna put out a John Lee Hooker covers album.
There we go. It'll be great. You'll be all set.
All right, well, let's see what's happening in 2014. See how your memories work here, gentlemen. Does anyone remember the World Cup in 2014? Specifically, I'm thinking of a semifinal match between Germany and Brazil.
Oh, is this the year that Germany went up like 6-0 in the semifinal and the whole Brazilian nation was sobbing on television?
Oh, it was so awful.
So the Megan Band was in Tiny Telephone recording that day. We were recording the Running on Machinery record.
Uh-huh.
And half the band were soccer fans and half the band were like, what the hell is wrong with you guys? And so we had it on a phone in the you know, like the little green room, and we would do a couple of takes, and somebody would run out, and every time Kyle came back in, he was like, "It's 5-0. It's 6-0." We're like, "What are you talking about?" So that's my memory of that game. I actually didn't see it. I just heard it happen to Brazil.
Brazil was hosting the World Cup, and they lost 7-1 to Germany. And I was rooting for Germany, but it was like that fight in Cool Hand Luke where I was like, somebody ought to stop this.
You know, it's so funny you say that, rooting for Germany. I remember I was in Croatia when Brazil played Germany in 2000 in the World Cup final.
Uh-huh.
And I was in a bar and people were like, who are y'all rooting for? And it's like, they're like, are you kidding? No one who's not German roots for Germany. Do you remember World War II? He's like, if you're not German, you don't root for Germany. Like, that's the one rule of the earth. So it's so funny to hear you say you're rooting for Germany, because I was told very specifically by some drunk Croatians that you are not allowed to do that.
Wow. All right. Let's see. In 2014, 50 Cent threw out a first pitch at a baseball game. Ben, do you remember that pitch?
I have no recollection. Hopefully a Yankee game, though, huh?
It was not well done by 50 Cent.
It's so bad, Ben. You got to YouTube that when you get back to America. It's amazing.
Remarkable.
He almost threw it behind himself. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
Jay-Z gets punched up a little bit on an elevator by Beyonce's sister. Ben, do you know what that was all about?
I believe that Jay-Z might have had a wandering eye. Yes, no, and Solange does not fuck around at all, so.
There you go. Todd Gurley suspended for 4 games as the University of Georgia running back. Jeff Simons, do you know why he was suspended for 4 games?
No idea. But Ben will know because he's an SEC fanatic.
Ben, do you know?
Not in 2014. No way. I believe that was a nadir for your Tennessee Vols.
He accepted $3,000 to sign some autographs. And the NCAA said, you can't do that. You're an amateur athlete and you are affecting the purity of the sport.
Who told on him? That's the part of all these stories. Like, what jagweed paid for an autograph and then turned him in?
I think it was a Tennessee fan.
Oh, yeah. That's good turnaround right
How dare
baby.
You, Tim Plaine? How dare you?
That's a little softball pitch for you, Tim. Way to hit the ball.
Lest you think it was all sunshine and sports in 2014, we also had Michael Brown being shot in Ferguson, Missouri. What, just a mile away from Dred Scott's burial place. We had ISIL terrorizing Iraq as Iraq was trying to get on its feet. The Camp Speaker massacre happens in 2014. 1,500 cadets for the new Iraqi armed forces are murdered by ISIL terrorists. It's the second deadliest terror attack in history. Awful, awful stuff. What happened to ISIL?
We rolled them. I mean, actually, I think the Russians actually rolled them, but they basically held a big chunk of Syria and a big chunk of Iraq. And then, but the funny thing is that actually it looked like really big. Like when you drew a map, you were like, wow, they've got a whole country. And then if you did the population centers for that, it was like they just said nothing. They literally had like Barstow, California, and Death Valley was what they controlled.
Well, I am glad they are out of the picture. I clarified the Supreme Court case that.
Oh, yeah, you totally did. And I looked it up, too. You were completely right.
The first one's
the Defense Against Marriage Act, and the second one's the right to be gay married everywhere. Totally right.
So one was like the first pin falling.
Totally.
And then it went from there. All right, good stuff. Let's get to the number one album.
I feel like this song's appropriate after all that. That was a downer there, buddy.
Sorry, it's part of the charm.
I can't decide whether it's good to start down and go up, or start up and go down, or maybe go back and forth from sports to ISIL. Like, the order, The order really matters, man. I'm like, I know, I don't even know if I can go on, but this song will help.
It's the number one album.
1989 by Taylor Swift.
The good news is that Todd Gurley got that money.
That's right, finally. I see I'm too late. Got nothing in my brain. Ben, were your daughters on board with Taylor going from kind of singer-songwriter to full-on pop star? Were they thumbs up?
Fall of 2014, I moved my entire family to Slovenia.
Oh, right.
And we had a turbulent first couple of months. The weather was terrible. It was just like it was here today, 53 degrees and a hard driving rain. Every day. It was brutal. And India was full-time teaching, and she hadn't been full-time teaching since, I don't know, 1996 or something. And she had like four new preps at this American school where they were just like, you know, it's one of those shoelace places overseas where they were trying to teach an American curriculum. And she's a Princeton grad. And so they were just like, yeah, man, come and just teach everything. So it was a very tough fall when this record came out, and that song in particular, just, oh, I can't describe how much we love that song.
Oh, good.
We played that song over and over again. I consider that song to be, you know, along with a half dozen other songs, one of my favorite pop songs of all time. Like, I absolutely love that one. The bass sax and the drum part and the open hi-hat, so fucking great.
And I totally agree. I like it so much that I deliberately ripped it off on River Run. And I've been waiting for Ben to figure out.
Like, wait,
there's
which
a
one?
Song on River Run where I stole very deliberately that sax bass part and put it in the middle of my own version of that pop song.
Wait, now
is that true? Where is it?
It's in the second song, A New Place, in that middle part, that ba-bomp, bump, ba-bomp, bump, ba-bomp, bump. When it does that weird keyboard part, there's a sax bass that I tried.
You sing, I love it.
Exactly that sound in the background. And that chord progression is a total homage slash lift from Shake It Off. Love it. I love this one.
And
I don't understand people who get mad about it. Like, I'm sorry, like, why would you get mad that your folksy singer-songwriter is also capable of writing Hey Yeah, Part 2? Like, that's a value add all the way to the
totally.
Band.
Totally.
Good. Good. We're all on the same page there. By the way, Jeff Sines, we didn't talk about this little nugget, I don't think, from the solo podcast, when Ben called Taylor Swift the Bob Dylan of this generation.
Yeah, I'm going to let that lie. What the hell? I mean... I'm not going to push back on that. She very well might be. It depends on what you mean by the Bob Dylan. Like, is she the most important songwriter to more people than anybody else? She probably is, you know?
Sorry,
and
Jeff.
And we're back.
this will be fun. I did want to share what the 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys fan club has been up to. These were tweets from May 12th. May 12th. I don't like this record. I love this record. So poignant and touching. Harmony and voices are amazing and incredible. I'm here for the aggression and the funk and for the dance party and for intensity, sorrow, the death, the black hole at the center. That was Nina's homage to a Bent Barton description. What'd you think, Bent?
Oh, dude, just nailed it. Bent, way better and more eloquent than I actually am, for sure.
I'm going to say, so on the nose.
I figure she left out Bonnaroo just because it was low-hanging fruit. Like, this was a little bit more sophisticated than just saying I heard them at Bonnaroo. Now, I'm going to go to Jeff's next. I don't want to throw shade on this artist. I just don't connect with the art. I mean, that Sorry drum track was everywhere. I hate those noodly, I hate those noodly keys. And the lyrics are beyond stupid, but it's not bad. I mean, I don't hate it.
That's pretty good.
By the way, the noodly, so good. That's an actual Jeff classic, is noodly. Timmy, do you have a word like that, like along with noodly?
I don't.
Because I use the word squirrely in class so much.
Yes.
That the students quote it back to me on exams. They're like, it's, quote, kind of squirrely, end quote.
That's really funny. I make a big deal about not using the word truly and how awful that word is and overused. And so they think it's hilarious when they get back at me and like put truly in all caps.
I don't like the word thus. I make fun of the word thus so much.
Thus.
It's like, unless you're a 16th century king, you can use therefore like the rest of us.
But Jeff, you are in a particularly weird position on this podcast because the last thing a musical artist wants to do is poo-poo another musical artist's creations.
Yeah.
And yet, darn it, you have opinions.
I've decided that really any established artist isn't going to really care what I think.
Okay.
And we're not really slagging unestablished artists. So I'm trying to thread the needle, but you're right. There are moments in my head where I'm like, you know, it is hard to make a record.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be too much of an asshole about it, but.
Well, I'm glad because I was nervous about picking another Garth Brooks album, but I'm glad to hear you say that because I got
Garth is a different case altogether. If I believe an artist is cynical from the jump, if they got into art as a way to do something else with their lives, I'm more likely to jump.
So. All right.
And don't worry. The 2014 material is the best in Garth Brooks' catalog. That's what he's really hitting his question. Stride.
Are you going to go see him on this Enormo tour that he's doing, Tim?
I am not.
Be in section 308, row 17.
I'm sorry. Is Enormo in reference to his physique? What's?
No, he's playing stadiums.
Oh, is he? Okay.
But it's helpful that his physique is such that you can see him from section 308.
Oh, that's Hey-o. Not called for.
Oh boy. Hey, listen. We're all committing to get in better shape this summer. Finally, Nina has an attempt, an impression of me. I don't get it. It doesn't sound like me. I don't know much about music like you bi-coastal elites. So this year I bought a lottery ticket, matched the numbers to letters of the alphabet. It spelled out an artist and it hit me lyrically. What do you guys think?
Such a great joke. Such an amazingly good joke.
Oh, I don't know. When I was first reading it, I was like, I don't know which one this it's like being at the poker table and if you don't know who the sucker is.
Oh yeah.
Good stuff, Nina. And the growing fan club. All right, let's get to our three albums.
Our three albums.
Who goes first?
Jeff, I'm happy to go first.
Yeah, you should go first because we can't see you. It's going to be nice to have your face again, Ben. I'm finding a little distance in this.
Oh,
Italy.
You miss his mom. That's nice.
It makes me sad.
It makes me a little sad too. But I'm glad you're in Italy, which is much nicer than not being in Italy.
Yeah, indeed. So. In 2000, well, let's go backwards. In 2000, Killer Mike is launched. His career is launched.
Let's go.
As a guest rapper on Outkast record. He does it in 2000, does it again in 2001. He puts out three different solo albums through 2013. And in 2013, he's born in 75. So what's that make him? He's 33. And the producer of his third solo record, R.A.P. Music, is El Producto, who's a white guy from Brooklyn, who's basically the same exact age. So Killer Mike grows up in Atlanta. His dad's a police officer, and I can't remember what his mom did. But he grows up in relatively modest circumstances and is just trying to make it in the rap game. I mean, he's connected to Outkast. He's connected to T.I. He's a major player in the Atlanta scene, but just not really able to break through nationally. El Producto, LP, same thing. It's humorous. He actually has kind of a rougher upbringing than Killer Mike does. His dad, I can't remember if his dad dies or leaves him, and then his stepdad beats up his mom bad enough where he's actually like kicked out and arrested and removed from the house. LP drops out of kicked out of St. Anne's High School when he's 17. Gets a GED, goes on to college and learns music production. And he's like in this alternative rap zone in the 90s. He's got a rap collective called Company Flow. He's got his own record label and he's producing a bunch of stuff. He's also not able to break through. Same year, in 2012, he produces Killer Mike's record and he produces his own record. And Mike has such a good time with the record. He's like, you know what we should do? You got a record coming out. I got a record coming out. Let's go on tour together. So they go on tour together, LP and Killer Mike separately. And then they show up in each other's sets and they're rapping. And they're like, damn, that was a really good time. Fuck it. You know what we should do? We'll go into the studio and we'll just record a record and we'll just put it out. Just the two of us. We'll rap together, just like we did on those two songs. So they go into the studio. It's like a 9-song, 31-minute record. The first song on the record is called Run the Jewels. And they were like, eh, whatever. Let's call the band that. Like, the first song, same thing.
Love it.
So they put out Run the Jewels as a free album, open to download to anybody. It's a big commercial hit. Not commercial hit. It's a big critical hit. It's a medium-sized commercial hit. And both of these guys are in their 30s and they've never had a partnership. They've never really been able to hit it. This takes off. They're like, fuck it, man. They go right back into the studio, right on the heels of it, and record Run the Jewels 2. It's a really, really, really interesting record. And the Run the Jewels project is super interesting. Okay, so just to get this out of the way, Killer Mike is by a mile the best rapper in this act. LP is... I would say interesting and good for a white guy, but just can't touch Killer Mike at all. And I'm sure if those dudes were here, like it's clear. Like,
yeah, I hear them
say it in interviews. They would say the same thing. Like that's not, they're not in competition. Like the Beastie Boys and other acts. I mean, Run DMC even would have spats basically over who was better within the duo or the trio. That's not the situation here at all. Everybody knows that Killer Mike is the better rapper, but ironically, LP is the better producer. And the beats are super interesting. It's not a cut up the soul act. He's an okay sampler, but that's not his thing at all. He comes out of the TV on the radio, Cat Power, Brooklyn scene, where he's really into weird sonic stuff. It's like almost industrial style. And somehow the two of them together create this like really secret sauce. So, Timmy, I know you chose Reagan from the RAP music.
Right.
To me, the Killer Mike material before he gets into Run the Jewels, it's like it's too much Killer Mike. It's too serious. It's too political. Like he can't capture it. And let alone the LP. I love this band enough where I've gone backwards and listened to all of the solo stuff beforehand. Uh-huh. And the LP stuff is like without Mike rapping and he's even weirder. Like I think Mike has got a really nice ameliorating effect on him. He's like, okay, we want actual beats here, guy. We don't want just like noise and that.
I got a rebuttal to that at the end of this, though. I got to jump in. There's one LP song I'm going to ride or die for once we get to the
end. Oh, beautiful. I love it. They come back in the studio for Run the Jewels 2, RTJ2, as it's known. I'm going to choose, first of all, I love Run the Jewels. I don't like them. I love them. They are very firm that they're not a political act and that they're not Public Enemy 2, but they, in fact, are the spiritual successors to Public Enemy. Mike, in particular, like if you've seen him on CNN, if you heard him speak after the Ferguson stuff, like he's just a fantastic, unbelievably awesome spokesperson.
Right.
And he carries it through in the rap. It's excellent. This record, they put it all together. I don't think that there's any single Run the Jewels record. I mean, 2, 3, and 4 are all fantastic. 2, 3, and 4 all each have songs where I'm like, that one wasn't my absolute favorite. That being said, 2 has got my absolute favorite Run the Jewels song.
Yeah, say
close
it again.
Your eyes and count to fuck.
Okay.
Close your eyes and count to fuck. I'm happy to say that as many times as I can. Jeff, just start it at 000 and then end at 1 at a minute.
Run the Jewels 2 by Run the Jewels.
Run them jewels fast. Run them, run them jewels fast. Run them, run them, run them, run them, run them, run them. Fuck the slow mo. Run them, run them.
Fascist slave, you protested to get in a fucking lookbook. Everything I scribbled like the anarchist cookbook.
Look good, posing in the center for the cookbook.
Black on black on black with the ski mask, that is my crook look. How you like my styling, bruh? Ain't nobody smiling, bruh. About to turn this motherfucker up like Rikers Island, bruh. My thugs and my cripples and my blooders and my brothers. When you niggas gon' unite and kill the police motherfuckers? Or take over a jail, get them COs hell. The burning of that sofa, goddamn, I love the smell. Blankets and pillow torching, where the fuck the warden? And when you find them, we don't kill them, we just waterboard them. We killing them for freedom, cause they tortured us for boredom. And even if some good was die, fuck it, the Lord will sort them.
We out of order, your honor, you out of order. This whole court is
under. Cutting off LP.
The burning of the sofa, goddamn, I love the smell. Like, that just kills me.
Kills me, that's good. Jeff, what were we going to say?
Oh, I just like, you know, I don't know much about hip hop, but I love when I can pick up like that Atlanta trail off on the vowel sounds that Killer Mike has going. Like that at the end of each line. Totally.
Yeah.
I just love that. LP has this amazing song called "For My Upstairs Neighbor, If You Kill Him, I Won't Tell," which is one of the best songs about domestic violence I've ever heard, where he's in the hallway of his apartment building and he's hearing this guy beat up his girlfriend in the other apartment. But it's that New York, like, you keep your own business. But the whole song is the police have come to his house to investigate him because the guy's dead upstairs. And he's like, who pays attention to noise in Brooklyn? Like, good luck, Columbo, with the case. But on the stairwell the day before, he had stopped and put his hand on her arm and said, if you kill him, I won't tell. And I mean, it's a perfect 3-minute mini opera. And it's full of all the things Ben described, just crazy sounds and weirdness going on. But I'm a huge fan of that track, not the whole record, which is called Cancer for Cure, I think. But Ben's right that if this is your thing, then this is the peanut butter meets the chocolate. Like, it's deep and it's fun and it's loud and it's groovy and it's got all these different influences really tastefully thrown together. Like, as somebody who's not an aficionado of this moment in rap, this jumps right out at me as something a cut above most stuff.
Agreed. Good stuff, Ben. Go Killer Mike. Jeff, what do you got?
I'm going to take us to one of the, you know, there's a couple of cities where rock music has just been like born and raised, right? Like New York, Los Angeles, London, Chicago, Seattle, San Francisco. But let's not forget
Boston?
Halifax, Nova Scotia. Oh, which is where this year's band comes from. I've been waiting a year and a half to get 5 minutes to talk about one of the greatest bands you've never heard of. Now, you guys have heard of them because I have bent your ear off since 1996 about this band. But I think most Americans, and I assume a lot of listeners of this podcast, might not know the Canadian band Sloan. And I'm picking Sloan this year for their record Commonwealth. Partly because I think Commonwealth is a very good record, but partly because I cannot let season two of this podcast go by without talking about these guys. Sloan has been making music as a quartet since 1991. They met in high school up in Halifax. They kind of kicked around in a couple of semi-professional bands. And then this kind of essential quartet got together in 1991 and made a little EP called Peppermint. They got a Canadian record deal. They have been making great records ever since. These four guys all write songs. They all sing lead vocals and they switch instruments depending on whose song it is. So
I love
when
that.
The drummer's singing lead, he moves to guitar and the bass guitarist moves over to the drums and the rhythm guitar player moves over to the bass. When you go see Sloan in concert, it's not just a show. It's also this incredible musical chairs of these guys bouncing around the stage. Since 2006, they've added a fifth touring member who covers keys and percussion because they use a lot of wonderful old like Wurlitzer, Fender Rhodes keyboard sounds as well. I've seen Sloan, I think three times, maybe four times. I can't remember. But the great thing about, the sad thing for Sloan is they never broke through in America. So when they tour America, they play very small places. The good news for you is when Sloan comes to your town, they're going to come play a little tiny place. Okay. And you'll see one of the best bands of the last 30 years with 300 other music fanatics. They kill it live. They have made 12 records, since 12 full-length records. They also are incredibly prolific. There are two full-length compilations of B-sides and tracks for compilations and other things. They have never made a bad record. At the very beginning of their career, they're a little derivative, which is, what do you expect? They're 20 years old or something like that when they make Peppermint. The first record, Twice Removed, to me sounds a little too grungy. It sounds a little too imitative of Nirvana and that moment in 1992. But then they swing into their own thing from one chord to another in 1995 through the present day. Sloan is an uncharacterizable band. Like sometimes they sound like the great lost 70s funk rock band. Sometimes they sound like a 60s R&B classic band. Sometimes they sound like the great lost new wave punk band. And that's one of the things I love about them. If I had to pick a record to start with, it's probably not Commonwealth. But if you like Commonwealth and you head backwards, you're not going to hit a bad record. And one of the things, again, that's so great is because you have four songwriters and four lead singers, there's a lot of genre hopping. But not in that way that's obnoxious. Like, it's not like you're going to go from like heavy metal to bluegrass and have yourself like these guys worked together incredibly well. They have won the Grammy equivalent in Canada 9 times. They've won the Album of the Year award 9 times out of 12 records. When they play in Toronto or across Canada, they're playing 10,000 seaters. I think Canadians would describe them as one of the two or three greatest bands in Canadian history. Rush, Sloan, and then, you know, whoever comes third. They're just kind of a ghost wandering through America's rock clubs. So do yourself a favor, check out this band. This is my favorite song from Commonwealth. It is a perfect 2-minute and 40-second song about Cleopatra. It's helpfully called Cleopatra.
Nice.
And I'm going to play you a little bit of it now.
Commonwealth by Sloan.
Cleopatra. There's a reason she's taking her time, collecting her thoughts like a gallery assembling a new paradigm. She turns to the strangers like we all do from time to time, recounting the facts, paying a tax and assessing her own bottom line. Could have met upon the set, but it was too late.
Talk to you later.
Let's relocate the set before it's too late.
Talk to you later.
Cleopatra toss a coin to help her decide. At the top of the field, in the stadium, home and away of your tide. If you could only see through those wicked eyes, blind ambition cut the ribbon to those ancient ties. Hey.
Are they touring this summer?
They're working on their 13th record, which is supposed to come out in September and October.
Okay.
So I'm sure hoping. I mean, these guys are almost exactly our age.
Right.
And it's been a quartet with no change in personnel for 32 years. They added this one guy 15 years ago. And it tells you something about this band that they added a guy 15 years ago, and he has stuck with them since then. They bring him in the studio now. He's a touring musician. He's not officially in the band, but he might as well be. They're really a five piece at this point. But there's something about, they've grown old together. The records are about that. As they get older, the songs are about different things. They're definitely writing to and for one another. It's just, I've kind of grown up with this band as well. And I got on early. Like, I've been listening to this band carefully for 27 years, and wow, they have not made a stinker. And I like some more than others, and there have been a couple of records where the back half of the record I'm like, oh, I've kind of heard this song before, but then they'll like totally surprise me. Like, this song ends with something called 48 Portraits, which is each band member made was told, they all decided, we're gonna each make a little song suite without any input. We're going to record all the instruments ourselves, and then we're going to smush it together. 48 Portraits is a 17 and a half minute track of all of their solo creations, like mixed and fumbled all together. And I mean, it doesn't all work, but like, this is not just a band. This is a band that threads the needle between being fun, having ambition, like trying new things, but also knowing who they are and what they do well, and going back to that well time and time again. I admire the hell out of this band, and I love them, and I hope people listening will give it a chance.
Give Sloan a chance. Ben, what are your thoughts on Sloan?
First, I'm just super happy to hear Jeff make this pick. This is a classic Jeff pick. He has been a longtime Sloan fan, for sure. And Timmy, I assume you're in the same spot. I've listened to multiple different Sloan records on Jeff's behalf. Not one of those ones where I'm just going to poop all over it. Here's what I'll say about it, though, is I find it more uneven than Jeff does. And actually, I didn't even realize that there were four different singers and four different songwriters, but that makes a lot more sense. It's just a little bit of a grab bag. It's like a box of chocolate, so you just don't really know what, this is how I experience it.
I could get that. You occasionally hit the Whitman sampler chocolate that's like coconut praline, and you're like, oh, I didn't even want this in my mouth. Like, there are tracks like that on every one of their records.
I gotta check them out, though. They sound great. I love any band.
Love the difference between Ben and Tim. Ben is like, I have listened to multiple Sloan albums on Jeff's behalf, and Tim is like, yeah, I should check these guys out. Yeah,
I'm sure Jeff sent it to me at some point. But I was really busy. Had a lot on my plate. Any band that like where a guy joins 15 years ago and he's still called the new guy, you know, that's pretty cool. That's a tight crew coming out of Halifax.
Yeah. And I mean, I like that. I feel like if you this would be hard to do now if you're just coming to this band. It's one of these problems with a band like this where I'm like, pick any one of these 12 records and get started. Like, right, you're totally frozen. Like,
you can't really do that. But like, they have also, like, you can hear in them and their approach to music the frustrations of the music industry. Like, there's a moment when they're on a major label and there's a ton of promotion, and then there's a moment when they lose the record deal and they're their own independent and they can't figure out how to get anybody to pay attention. And now there's the moment where they're like, well, the hell with it. Like, we're fine. Now we'll make art for art's sake. And there's a built-in audience and we'll just do our best with that. Like, it's really, I feel like you can see where the music industry is based on where Sloan is. And this is, I mean, this is not a tiny band, right? Like, a lot of these songs have 5 or 6 million listens, but for a band that's been around for 31 years, that's actually not that many. Like, I have friends who've never heard of who have 1 million listens. So they really continued to struggle. And at this point, like, being our age, like, they don't expect a breakthrough anymore. Right. And they're starting to make they're starting to make records for themselves rather than for a marketplace. They have a like identified group of people like us who they know are going to hear it. So I'm actually really hoping that the new record will be a little weird and a little ambitious. That would be awesome.
Cool.
And this is a perfect band to go check out on Spotify and just listen to their 5 most listened songs.
Yeah.
That Jeff will be like, oh, I disagree. Like, those aren't, it's not going to be their 5 best songs, but sure. Like for this sort of thing, it's like, it's not about it. Just go ahead and listen to it. You know what I mean? Like, you get the idea.
Yeah. You know what? I'm looking at them right now and it's perfectly fine.
Okay.
If you just listen to the top 10, you would know whether or not it's worth crate digging this band or not. But I could.
It looks like.
Yeah, go ahead.
It looks like Navy Blues is the most listened to album, right?
I think that's right. And then One Chord to Another is the other one. And then my sneaky favorite is the one from 2003 called Action Packed, which are the top 3 in Spotify. Like, and I think you could probably drop the needle anywhere in any one of those records and listen for 10 minutes and have a pretty good sense. But I think I could make a mixtape of my 10 favorite Sloan songs. That would be, I mean, that listening experience for me would rival most bands,
wow.
Not all bands. Like, there's still a pantheon I'd enjoy more, but I would really love that mix of 10 a whole lot.
I forgot to tell you guys, or forgot to talk about, I saw Belle and Sebastian this week.
Nice. How'd they treat you?
They were great. They're super late getting out. They're, the woman who sings with them and plays fiddle, she got COVID right before they left Scotland. So they had a replacement, but then they lost their trumpet player. So they, it's not easy finding a trumpet player in Western North Carolina, but this guy named Tim from Morganton, North Carolina, who they introduced, you know, he sat there and had the book open the whole time doing the songs. Belle and Sebastian have a few songs with the trumpet. So they're about an hour and a half late getting on the stage. They're super apologetic, but they played and it was great. It was great seeing live music. That's the key.
Nice. Hey, have you heard of a guy named MJ Lenderman?
No.
He's an Asheville, North Carolina guy who just got the best new music review on Pitchfork. So he's about to blow up.
Wait,
I was curious to know if you had heard of him.
My doctor is Mark Lenderman.
well, I really hope it's his kid.
Yeah, they call
really
him
hope
Apples.
That's what a small town Asheville is. That would be the greatest.
PJ Lenderman?
MJ.
MJ
Lenderman.
All right. Could be my doctor's son then. That's fun. All right. Jeff, I'll explain in a second. Could you cue up for me Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell? And I would like to start it at,
oh my God,
1 minute and 12 seconds. So we can get to the moment that you once described to me as the greatest woo in music.
Oh yeah. This is the greatest woo of all time. Here we go.
Bye.
Woo!
Oh, that's a good one.
What a great, great moment in music there. Marvin Gaye reacting to Tammy Terrell. And this song anchors what I think is the best album of the year, the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Oh, my God.
Oh, awesome. Timmy.
Well, I've never done a greatest hits album, so there art thou happy. But I already picked Jenny Lewis. I couldn't pick her again. And listen, this soundtrack, Hooked on a Feeling, Fooled Around and Fell in Love by Elvin Bishop, it's got I Want You Back, a song that was chosen as a song of the year in season one, and Ooh Child, another song that was picked by the Five Stair Steps. And if you could play just 30 seconds of 10cc's I'm Not in Love.
Yeah, I could do that.
The Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Has a very slow build, 10cc. Here it comes.
Slow build. I get what you did there.
This is the keyboard sound that makes the fillings in Ben's teeth ache, though.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
This is it. That Fender Rhodes through a Leslie speaker. I can hear John Ritter entering a Regal Beagle as we listen to this.
Either of you watched the soap opera Santa Barbara?
No.
With young Robin Wright? Oh, telling you, man.
I forgot you had a soap opera mini moment.
Every time she came on the screen, 10cc would play in the background. I'm like, I don't know how they got the rights to that song. But
10cc is such a weird band. They're such a weird band. They had so many weird, huge hits because they did The Things We Do for Love.
Oh, did
remember
they?
That one?
Yeah, of course.
Which is such a cheesy
ass. Also on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack was Cherry Bomb featuring 1970s supergroup. What were they called?
The Runaways.
The Runaways. Oh, what an album, gentlemen. Am I right?
It's a good movie. I really liked the movie.
And it really set the stage for the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 soundtrack.
Yes.
It's not a bad soundtrack, too.
You'll be choosing in 2017, right?
We could actually have a great conversation about this, about what the best soundtrack is. I was just thinking
we should do that. We should have a best soundtrack album argument.
Yeah, totally.
And now I got
it. We'd have to remove Saturday Night Fever, though. That one's too...
That's too easy, yeah. No, it has to be like a compilation soundtrack.
Right. Oh, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
By the way, Ben, the Flannery was watching Mamma Mia the other day, and that Meryl Streep singing is just awesome.
Isn't it the greatest?
I am Meryl.
The girls watched like I'm here with my college age girls and their best friend who just graduated college, and they rewatched Mamma Mia last night, and it's Mamma Mia 2 tonight.
Oh, right.
Just still doing it. Yeah, totally.
That's
but
so
yeah,
great.
No. It's so charming. It's so amazingly charming.
I believe Mamma Mia 2 has a guest appearance from Cher. I didn't see it.
Yes. Mamma Mia 2 is so much worse than Mamma Mia 1. Mamma Mia 1 is
hard to imagine.
Good. No, Mamma Mia 1 is great.
Oh, man. We also have a new double Wilco album to prematurely review.
Premature.
Wait, when does that come out? Is it out?
It's already out, Mr. Italy. I actually watched... They played their Solid Sound Festival this weekend, and Friday night they played Cruel Country front to back in sequence as the main set.
Wow.
They just came out and played their entire new record start to finish.
Was Conway Twitty there?
Conway Twitty was not there.
Any other country artists come out?
It's not really a country. I mean, like, spoiler alert, and not to be a big surprise, it is not a country record by any stretch, but... But I'm really interested to see what you all think of it once you've had a chance to listen to it.
All right, let's meet back here in 2015, and we'll all have listened to it.
I just can't imagine. Like, I don't think a double Wilco album can come out on this podcast without at least talking about it a little bit. That just seems like burying the lead for the three of us. So
I think that's true.
Ben, when do you get home?
Be home late Thursday.
Late Thursday.
That is so exciting.
So on your flight, you can listen to the entire double album. This is perfect.
For sure. That's the plan.
All right.
It's like being there. It actually would have fit on a single CD. It's about 76 minutes long. But they broke it up into two manageable chunks.
Okay. So. Well, I'll tell you, I hope to be here in the next week. There's a possibility if the Celtics lose that I will be in a hole somewhere. I'm just going to dig a hole on campus and just live in it for a month.
So as a Warriors fan, I'm having a spectacular week. It's been really amazing.
No anxiety.
Obviously, we would prefer to play the Heat because we will sweep or gentlemen sweep the Heat, no question. But I kind of am rooting for the Celtics just for the joy of a Tim versus Jeff NBA Finals, which I think will be unbelievably fun.
So, a lot of stress.
But I do not know what's wrong with your Boston Celtics. That is the weirdest team in the NBA. Like they look like the best team in the league and then they can't dribble for like six minutes. Like, this literally, they are dribbling the ball into the arms of defenders. Like, I just don't even understand.
This is correct. Yep. All right. Well, good talking to you, Oliver.
Well, I am rooting for you tonight, Timmy. I mean, I think a Celtics Warriors NBA Finals would be really fun for us.
Fun time. All right. Ben Barton, safe travels home.
Indeed. And we'll be all together. I'll be on video. We'll be able to see each other. It'll be good. We'll be back again.
It'll be great. And I hope listeners appreciate that Ben has created two podcasts from Italy, like on his phone, like the commitment trophy for 2022.
Yeah.
I am definitely in third place because Tim is running this thing and Ben is coming in from 10,000 miles away. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Noon works. I am a bronze medalist.
I will change my MVP vote. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Be safe,
later
friends.
On, fellas.
Take care.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric acid.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Electric acid.